from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fancy Sparky Pfeiffer with you. How we doing on a Tuesday? Lots going on in the sports world, even though it's the All-Star Week, right? All-Star game coming up tonight. We talked about the Home Run Derby back in the first segment. Reese rundown of the day. We'll talk more about the Crew coming up at 4:40. But NBA news, too, involving the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks signed Gary Trent Jr., 1-year vet minimum deal, a deal that I thought had no chance of getting done. To talk more about that is Ty Windisch of the Eurostep Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windisch, T-I Windisch, W-I-N-D-I-S-C-H, if you want to follow him. It's a great follow. Ty was very pumped up at the Gary Trent signing. I saw him quote tweet a Woj when it came out. Okay, Ty, so did you think this had a legitimate chance of getting done when the offseason started?
Not when it started, no. I would say the last, I think 2 days ago it was, we got a report from Shams Charania of The Athletic saying, like, the Bucks are chasing Gary Trent Jr., one of the teams. And at that point, I think you do look around the league, and it's like, not surprised they wanted him. I think the Bucks chased a lot of guys, even knowing they only had the vet minimum deals to offer. But, like, who else is spending money? Who's left? You know, some teams have their exceptions left, but a lot of these teams just are choosing not to use them, whether their roster spots are full or they just don't want to pay the tax or anything like that. And I think that then put the Bucks in a pretty unique position of, you know, we can't pay you more than anyone else, but you can start. We're a team with Dame, with Chris, with Giannis, of course, and you can walk right in here and start. We added some other vets. We have great depth. We have exciting young players. And then you can do, you know, what Malik Beasley did, what some of these other veteran players have come 1 year and then go get a big contract. That's the plan for these guys. I certainly, though, did not think Gary Trent Jr. was going to be available for a vet main really at any point in time. I mean, not a perfect player, not the kind of player I really wanted to complete this starting lineup, but the caliber of player that you just simply cannot refuse if you're able to sign to a deal like this.
All right, so let's talk about some things involving Gary Trent Jr. Gary Trent Jr., one of four players to record at least 500 made three-pointers and 300 steals over the last three seasons. The other players, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, Fred Van Vliet, Ty Windisch. Do explain to those Bucks fans that know nothing about Gary Trent Jr. the difference between him next to Lillard versus the difference between Malik Beasley next to Lillard.
Yeah, I think the difference is, the biggest difference is Trent's a more complete offensive player. Neither of them are, I would say, like, exceptional passers, but Trent has been, if you look at the scoring per 36, because his minutes have really changed, especially last season as, you know, the Raptors kind of lean into a youth movement over the course of the season. But he's been at least 17 points per 36 minutes for the last four consecutive seasons now, which I think Beasley had maybe done once. He had kind of an explosion in Minnesota, but most of his career has been more like, you know, 10 to a dozen points maybe. Trent also scores a lot more from two. I mean, looking at his shots per game the last 3 years, this past season it was more threes. The 2 years before, he was actually as many, if not more, twos per game than threes, which just tells you at a rudimentary level, you know, not a player who's just bombing away from three, right? Which I think was kind of, you know, these guys would do other things occasionally, but most of Beasley's shots, most of Grayson Allen's shots were just threes. That's really all they were giving you offensively. Whereas I think Trent is just a more overall dangerous offensive player. He's also, as you know, that stat poll mentioned, racked up a bunch of steals the last few seasons. That doesn't necessarily mean he's a great defender. Again, I don't think he is. But at least if you're able to knock the ball away a couple times per game, that's getting a team with Giannis moving in transition. That has real value and is very useful for Milwaukee. He's going to have to step up defensively like all Bucks are. But, you know, I think, again, the caliber of offensive player, talking about a, you know, 17-plus point-per-game scorer for two of the last 3 years, I mean, that is the offense of the Bucks and their starting lineup and just throughout games now is going to be pretty absurd. I mean, there's really nowhere to hide perimeter players against this Bucks starting five. Proposed, I mean, we don't know, but I think presumed starting five.
Talking with Ty Windish, Eurostat Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. Let's talk a little bit about the Bucks Summer League. Got another game coming up, I believe tonight it is. Through the first two games, I was anxious to see what Marjon Beauchamp was going to look like. Because as Doc pointed out at the end, you only see him play a couple times. He'd been hurt a majority of the time that Doc Rivers had been there. Thought he was maybe the most skilled guy of the young guys that they had last year at that point. It doesn't look much different to me, Ty Windish. Doesn't look much different to me at all.
Yeah, you know, I think he's gotten better at the driving and scoring. I think his shot has looked good sometimes. The percentage isn't good. I think he's taken some kind of wild ones. For my issue with Marjon this summer league is it just feels like the decision-making is too predetermined in that, you know, okay, I'm going to shoot this possession and he does, or I'm going to pass off and he does. And, you know, what I wanted to see from him was just a fluid wing decision-making process of, you know, when I catch, I'm either going to drive to the rim if there's an opening, I'm going to pass the ball and move off ball, or I'm going to let a shot fly. Like, to be an NBA wing player who on a good team, you have to be able to make those decisions quickly and do all of those things, at least to some extent. And it still feels too herky-jerky, too, like, you know, not fluid within the game. And it's a difficult role for him. He's been a primary shot creator in a lot of these lineups. But he hasn't been the only shot creator. I mean, they've had point guards out there. They've had other ball-handling guards. I just haven't seen the fluidity I've wanted to see from Marjon, so I would agree. And I really hope we get to see, you know, a little more deft touch in these next couple of games. But it has not been the coming out party I think a lot of fans had hoped for.
All right, let's talk about a couple of the draft picks that they've made. A.J. Johnson has showed some spurts that leads, I think, some to get mildly excited about what he might be all about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, I think that's a good reaction. That's about where I'm at with A.J. Johnson. You know, I don't think he's ready to play this year still. I don't also think he looks as far away as kind of some of the prognosticators had said around draft time. You know, I think he's got to get a little more bigger and just fill out his body, as literally almost every 19-year-old coming into the NBA does. But his handle is good. His speed is certainly there. I think a big thing for him will be figuring out when to slow down off on the ball and what that looks like. But again, that thing at a plus NBA level, that is just, you know, if you want to say point guard, ball handler, whatever, that skill just takes a while. I mean, look at Scoot Henderson, was a consensus top pick last year, and it took him a lot of the year to figure out how to do that at the NBA level. He kind of improved it throughout the year. And I don't mean to compare A.J. Johnson to Scoot Henderson, but it's just, it's a hard thing to do early. And there's been some fun flashes. You know, he just needs to refine the shot. His step back form looks good. The shot has not fallen so far. But if it does, I mean, you can clearly see the way for him being a plus player. I've also liked some of his screen navigation defensively. I mean, it seems like he works hard. The effort is there. So, and especially now, you know, at the draft, it was easy to say it makes no sense to take a project player. If you have a good idea, you could sign three vets like Taurean Prince, Gary Trent Jr., and DeLon Wright, or whether you know or not, if you go out and do it, I think it justifies that a lot. You know, I don't think there were many, if any, players at 23 who would make this rotation. So it makes more sense to go, let's take the prospect we think has the best chance of being an impact player someday versus someone who has to contribute right now.
I wanted Terrence Shannon. I don't care what happens. Does not matter to me. Hey, Terrence Shannon would have gave you scoring off the bench instantly.
He is a 24-year-old who has played really well against 19-year-olds and continues to do so. I'll wait to see it at the NBA level is all I'll say about that.
That's fine. And you and I, we will discuss further. But if he ends up being like some sixth-man candidate in Minnesota, I'm going to lose my mind. I want to talk about Tyler Smith because, again, you talk about projects. That's what we're doing, which is fine. But like I saw some rumblings of, maybe he could fill some big man minutes in a rotation and so forth. I struggle to believe that's going to be a thing. Your thoughts on what you've seen from him?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with him as kind of the fourth big, which means he doesn't really play most nights. But, you know, if Bobby Portis or whoever has like a minor injury is going to miss two games, you can slot him in for some minutes, right? We'll play him 10 minutes. Like, let's just get him some burn, see what he does out there. But no, I don't think you're going to rely on him. I mean, there was a report from Yahoo that he could be the starting center if they traded Brook Lopez. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. That's not happening. He does not know what to do at all defensively at this point. So that's going to be, I think, his biggest thing to watch. But the shot, I think, looks really nice. The athleticism looks really nice. He's had some really athletic finishes and rebounds. I think he has to get a little more physical. He has to just learn how to be a big on defense. I mean, I think realistically, I would look at him more as like a big wing than a true big. Like, I think he would play more four than five in an ideal world. I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, this lockdown defensive five man. It's really hard to do, frankly. And he doesn't, to me, project as that. But that's okay. He's 6'9", probably plays more like 6'10" with shoes. A legit shooting touch, a legit athlete. I mean, you don't have to be a great defender. If you are, then, you know, he's going to make his, what he says is a modest goal of four or five All-NBA teams. But even if he's not a very good defender, there's a clear role there and a clear utility of him coming off the bench, playing with Giannis, enabling Giannis the five lineups, and just spacing the floor at that size. So I think he was a traits-based pick. I think the traits have been there. You know, you've really seen him in summer league. He, too, needs some more seasoning. I think he could play, again, a very small role this season. I wouldn't want to rely on him, per se. But I'd be interested just to see that and see how it looks with real NBA guys around him. Because I do think he brings a real offensive spark that will only get realer as he develops as a player.
I have an NBA comp for him that you may or may not like. And you may be like, oh my God, that's horrible, Sparky.
Did he play for the Nuggets?
No, he's not in the league anymore. No. He's a former NBA player. He reminds me of Josh Smith.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, listen, if his defense gets to where Smith's was, you'd love that. I think Smith was a little more eager to shoot than it seems like Tyler Smith is. But, yeah, I mean, that big body who's not a true big, but like a big wing. Yeah, I mean, I think you can see the outline there for sure. I think if Josh Smith, you know, played in this era, he would have made a lot more money and been a very valuable player, given the premium on shooting we see now.
Imagine how much Tim Thomas would have made in this era.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Ty Windish, Euro Step Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. What about Chris Livingston? He has had some, he's probably had better moments, I would say, of all the young guys. He's probably been the guy that everybody's the most excited about, who you really didn't get to see at all last year at the NBA level.
Yeah, I've been a Chris Livingston believer really since they drafted him, and then throughout watching him with the Herd and these brief glimpses at when he did get to play. Really, just there was a Utah game that I've talked about on our show for months since when there was like they were getting blown out and they just basically played him and Ajax the whole second half because it was like nothing's working. Let's just play the young guys. And they almost came back. And Livingston, I think you could kind of see the picture. He's really worked on the shot. He's shot the ball, the cover off the ball in summer league. He's spent two games, but has looked like a good shooter, you know, throughout his time with the Herd as well. Really big. He's big for 6'6", you know what I mean? Like jacked big, and despite only being, I think, 20 now,
thick.
Came out big, loves to do the dirty work. I think projects as a really useful NBA wing who can help you if he just, you know, needs to get more, I think, of just like the offensive and defensive. I don't want to say fundamentals, but just like continuing to know where to be all the time and what decisions to make, like a little improvement there. But overall, he's done the most stuff that you look at and go, yeah, this would help the Milwaukee Bucks, the real Milwaukee Bucks in summer league. So, yeah, I think it's been a huge summer for him, and he's gained more stock than probably anyone in the Bucks org over this summer league. Again, just two games. We got three more games, but it's been a great summer league start for him.
Let's talk a little bit about this roster as we sit. Are they better today than they were when they ended?
Yeah, I think that's a good reaction. That's about where I'm at with A.J. Johnson. You know, I don't think he's ready to play this year still. I don't also think he looks as far away as kind of some of the prognosticators had said around draft time. You know, I think he's got to get a little more bigger and just fill out his body, as literally almost every 19-year-old coming into the NBA does. But his handle is good. His speed is certainly there. I think a big thing for him will be figuring out when to slow down off on the ball and what that looks like. But again, that thing at a plus NBA level, that is just, you know, if you want to say point guard, ball handler, whatever, that skill just takes a while. I mean, look at Scoot Henderson was a consensus top pick last year, and it took him a lot of the year to figure out how to do that at the NBA level. He kind of improved it throughout the year. And I don't mean to compare AJ Johnson to Scoot Henderson, but it's just, it's a hard thing to do early. And there's been some fun flashes. You know, he just needs to refine the shot. His step back form looks good. The shot has not fallen so far. But if it does, I mean, you can clearly see the way for him being a plus player. I've also liked some of his screen navigation defensively. I mean, it seems like he works hard. The effort is there. So, and especially now, you know, at the draft, it was easy to say it makes no sense to take a project player. If you have a good idea, you could sign three vets like Torian Prince, Gary Trent Jr., and DeLon Wright, or whether you know or not, if you go out and do it, I think it justifies that a lot. You know, I don't think there were many, if any, players at 23 who would make this rotation. So it makes more sense to go, let's take the prospect we think has the best chance of being an impact player someday versus someone who has to contribute right now.
I wanted Terrence Shannon. I don't care what happens. Does not matter to me. Hey, Terrence Shannon would have gave you scoring off the bench instantly.
He is a 24-year-old who has played really well against 19-year-olds and continues to do so. I'll wait to see it at the NBA level is all I'll say about that.
That's fine. And you and I, we will discuss further. But if he ends up being like some sixth-man candidate in Minnesota, I'm going to lose my mind. I want to talk about Tyler Smith because, again, you talk about projects. That's what we're doing, which is fine. But like I saw some rumblings of, maybe he could fill some big man minutes in a rotation and so forth. I struggle to believe that's going to be a thing. Your thoughts on what you've seen from him?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with him as kind of the fourth big, which means he doesn't really play most nights. But, you know, if a Bobby Portis or whoever has like a minor injury is going to miss two games, you can slot him in for some minutes, right? We'll play him 10 minutes. Like, let's just get him some burn, see what he does out there. But no, I don't think you're going to rely on him. I mean, there was a report from Yahoo that he could be the starting center if they traded Brook Lopez. That's absurd. That's ridiculous. That's not happening. He does not know what to do at all defensively at this point. So that's going to be, I think, his biggest thing to watch. But the shot, I think, looks really nice. The athleticism looks really nice. He's had some really athletic finishes and rebounds. I think he has to get a little more physical. He has to just learn how to be a big on defense. I mean, I think realistically, I would look at him more as like a big wing than a true big. Like, I think he would play more four than five in an ideal world. I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, this lockdown defensive five man. It's really hard to do, frankly. And he doesn't, to me, project as that. But that's okay. He's 6'9", probably plays more like 6'10", with shoes. A legit shooting touch, a legit athlete. I mean, you don't have to be a great defender. If you are, then, you know, he's going to make his, what he says is a modest goal of four or five All-NBA teams. But even if he's not a very good defender, there's a clear role there and a clear utility of him coming off the bench, playing with Giannis, enabling Giannis to five lineups, and just spacing the floor at that size. So I think he was a traits-based pick. I think the traits have been there. You know, you've really seen him in summer league. He, too, needs some more seasoning. I think he could play, again, a very small role this season. I wouldn't want to rely on him, per se. But I'd be interested just to see that and see how it looks with real NBA guys around him, because I do think he brings a real offensive spark that will only get realer as he develops as a player.
I have an NBA comp for him that you may or may not like, and you may be like, oh, my God, that's horrible, Sparky.
Does he play for the Nuggets?
No, he's not in the league anymore. No. He's a former NBA player. He reminds me of Josh Smith.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, listen, if his defense gets to where Smith's was, you'd love that. I think Smith was a little more eager to shoot than it seems like Tyler Smith is. But, yeah, I mean, that big body who's not a true big, but like a big wing. Yeah, I mean, I think you can see the outline there for sure. I think if Josh Smith, you know, played in this era, he would have made a lot more money and been a very valuable player, given the premium on shooting we see now.
Imagine how much Tim Thomas would have made in this era.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Ty Windish, Euro Step Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windish. What about Chris Livingston? He has had probably had better moments, I would say, of all the young guys. He's probably been the guy that everybody's the most excited about, who you really didn't get to see at all last year at the NBA level.
Yeah, I've been a Chris Livingston believer really since they drafted him, and then throughout watching him with the Herd and these brief glimpses at when he did get to play. Really, just there was a Utah game that I've talked about on our show for months since when they were getting blown out, and they just basically played him and Ajax the whole second half because it was like, nothing's working. Let's just play the young guys, and they almost came back. And Livingston, I think you could kind of see the picture. He's really worked on the shot. He's shot the ball, the cover off the ball in summer league. He's just spent two games, but has looked like a good shooter, you know, throughout his time with the Herd as well. Really big. He's big for 6'6", you know what I mean? Like jacked big, and despite only being, I think, 20 now,
thick.
Came out big, loves to do the dirty work. I think projects as a really useful NBA wing who can help you if he just, you know, needs to get more, I think, of just like the offensive and defensive. I don't want to say fundamentals, but just like continuing to know where to be all the time and what decisions to make, like a little improvement there. But overall, he's done the most stuff that you look at and go, yeah, this would help the Milwaukee Bucks, the real Milwaukee Bucks in summer league. So, yeah, I think it's been a huge summer for him, and he's gained more stock than probably anyone in the Bucks org over this summer league. Again, just two games. We got three more games, but it's been a great summer league start for him.
Let's talk a little bit about this roster as we sit. Are they better today than they were when they ended the season?
Yeah, I think 100%. You know, I think they basically flipped three vets who disappointed for different reasons. And I know Nate Marzion tweeted this first, not to steal his comp here, but Malik Beasley and the Gary Trent Jr., I think you got better. Jay Crowder and the Torian Prince, I know you got better. And I really think you got better going from Pat Bev to DeLon Wright as well, especially given, I mean, you know, no disrespect to him, Pat Bev is going to play in Israel now. I mean, it's, and apparently there was some vet min offer out there potentially, but you know, clearly NBA team's not clamoring for his services. I think DeLon Wright gives you more offense, maybe a little less defense, but does give you more offense, more ball handling, and more shooting. So I think they turn those vets who I don't think were good enough on the whole into better players. I think you get more development from some of these young guys, whether it's Ajax, whether Chris Livingston busts into the rotation. You maintain all your key veterans. You know, I know people had grand designs about big trades, and I get it. I know there's a little disappointment about that not happening, but I also think, I mean, this is a core that part of a core that won a title a few years ago. I think all these players still look very good to the most part, and most of them. And I think they go deep now. I don't think they're relying on any one young player or even any one vet in terms of the role players. They have other options. So yeah, I think they're certainly better than they were when they ended last season, and I really cannot wait to see this team play.
You know, the other thing, too, about this is Doc talked about player development and how big player development is for him this offseason. If none of these young guys are going to play, how much player development are we really going to see? Because right now, based on the three ads that they have, who's really going to play?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be earned. You know, I think there's one, maybe two spots in the rotation right now for the guys you would consider young guys. Maybe just one for the summer league guys. I think A.J. Green not even having to go kind of shows you where the org perceives he to be at this point. But I think there's maybe one spot next to him. We'll see. I think, you know, Pat Connaughton is going to feel some pressure. I think if he has another season like he had last year where the shot really isn't falling and there's not many other contributions, yeah, I think his minutes are going to be in some jeopardy of a player like an Andre Jackson Jr. or Chris Livingston. But I don't think that is a bad thing. You know, I don't think that competition and making players earn their spots is bad. I think players can still get better in that construct. And, you know, frankly, this is an old team, right? Like, these guys aren't going to play 82 throughout the year. I think there's going to be moments for guys to come in and play. But they're going to have to earn it. And that's realistically how it should be if you have a Giannis, you have a Dame. I mean, it was a fun idea at the early part of the offseason when they didn't sign anyone for the first day to go, oh, yeah, it's going to be five young guys in the rotation. It's going to be great. They're all going to develop, unless they don't. And then the Bucks don't have enough options, and those superstars are unhappy. So I think we'll see one or two young guys make big contributions this year. I hope so, at least. I think they're going to be in the position to do so. But it'll be good for the Bucks. The Bucks will survive if they don't. It'll be really good for the Bucks if they do jump and grab rotation spots.
All right, Tywin, it's your turn to promote Eurostep podcast among a host of others. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got Eurostep Winning Six covering the Bucks. We got Packers and Brewers covered as well, and we are just about to record a quick full reaction pod diving deep on Gary Trent Jr. So Eurostep Podcast Network on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever, or gspn.info. for our main hub, and we'll be out real soon with full deep dive on Gary Trent Jr. And thank you very much for having me.
Anytime, my brother. Be good. Take care. There he is, Ty Windisch, Eurostep Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Ty Windisch, one of my favorites for certain.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.